opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1450 AM. Your talk radio. Good morning. Today, the 19th of January, 2022, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Jared's at the helm, been working like a mule this morning because I walk in and there's water all over the floor. They, somehow, electricity, you know, we have a, electric cord that things are plugged into, extension cord, somehow got turned off during the night, and everything in the refrigerator melted, and the where the water came out.
Was there a lot of stuff in the fridge?
I don't care. It's nothing of mine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do care. It's things like Cokes and, you know, those kinds.
Those
it's not like food.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
It just, then it drained itself.
Yeah.
Turned off the coffee machine, so there's no coffee this morning.
Uh-oh.
There is now, but I should be able to get through the first 5 minutes. So good morning, Jared,
good.
And thank you. Thank you, buddy.
Good morning.
No, you were in there just, he was.
I didn't realize how much water was there.
So. I didn't either. You know, when I pulled that thing out and I thought, anyway, water was standing.
Such is life.
Such is life. It's a little refrigerator, too. Okay. Hey, what's the weather like?
Well, it looks like we're going to have a sunny day with a high of 66. Our overnight lows will be about 47. I did poke my head out. Because last night, I forgot and left my indoor plants out. And I was so worried. I woke up, I don't know what, it was at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and thought, oh, no, I left my plants outside. I hope it's not going to be freezing because you know what it's like when you have real house plants and you love them along the way. So anyway, partly cloudy with overnight lows of 47, not too bad, and it's beautiful outside. Tomorrow calls for sunny with a high of 69, and Thursday night mostly clear with overnight lows of 44. Friday will be sunny with a high of 65, Saturday sunny 67, and Sunday 68. These are the days to be outside and, weed. Do the outside activity, take your walks, walk your dogs, do some things that are, mobility. I love it right here in Northern California. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane that have been bringing us the weather for many, many years. They're located in Anderson. They're a veteran-owned business. The Kinney family do so many kind things and are secret angels in many ways. But we do love them. Shasta Gas Propane. Brings you the weather at 365-3793.
Okay, phone lines here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And our guest this morning is Reading City Councilman Michael DeQuisto.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Hi.
See, your heart does beat just early in the morning.
We had a late meeting last night. I got hardly any sleep.
Oh, my goodness. Let's hear about your meeting.
Well, Let's frame the meeting
The meeting.
Well, we can frame it. The most important thing is it lasted till almost 11 o'clock at night, and that's 2 hours past my bedtime.
11 o'clock last night. Yes. Was there a lot of people there?
No, actually, most of the time was spent on a downtown-specific plan issue.
Is this the one where they're expanding the growth in the garden track?
In essence, that's what they're doing, yeah.
And there's a lot of consternation down there from people in the garden track because... of the it was a concern about changing the code so you can have 3, 4, 5 story buildings down there.
It was up to 75 feet, and some people said, well, I don't want a 75-foot building right next to my house.
How many floors is 75 feet?
If it's 10 feet a floor,
that's 7 floors.
I don't think it's 7, but
yeah,
it's a lot more than 2.
Yeah, let's just say 4 or 5. Yeah.
I mean, just imagine it in the garden track if you want to put up a building that's that built, you know, that big right next to
your home.
Single family home, and suddenly somebody's looking down on your backyard and everything, and I can see where they'd be upset.
It could be in an apartment house too.
It could be a lot of things.
So garden track's a little excited about this.
Well, yeah, and actually what happened on that particular issue is that because I own property in the area covered by the plan, and Ms. Reznor owns property in the area, we had to recuse ourselves, so it wound up with just the remaining 3 council members, and you have to get a majority of 3 to pass anything.
Oh, so it's got to be 3-0.
So it took a while. 2-1 doesn't work on a situation like that. And there were some concerns that Mr. Mazzano had about whether there was adequate notice given to all the neighbors. He wanted the area expanded so more notices would be mailed out.
Mm-hmm.
They continued the hearing, I think, for a month.
Okay.
Like that.
So no decision really was made.
There was no decision that was made, and he expressed some concerns about traffic, and they're going to deal with that, I think, and some concerns about the height of the buildings, the proposed height.
Well, how big an expansion are we talking down there? I mean, is it like 12 buildings?
No, it's a fairly decent size expansion. It covers Butte Street and Continental Street some of those. And some of the issues are those areas are more commercial properties or industrial or
mm-hmm.
and a little bit blighted, maybe. You might want to look at it and see. And so there's some owners and developers who purchased down there. They want the ability to build and redevelop. And, you know, it's the old competition between the NIMBYs, who are not in my backyard and I like it the way it is, and what do you have to change it for? And then the people that want to move and progress and say, you know, we think we have some better ideas and things move forward. And
what kind of ideas do they have down there?
I don't know.
Okay, so that hasn't come out yet. But first they've got to get permission from the city to expand out there. Is that right?
In a nutshell, as I understand it, the plan is like the blueprint or the frame that you have to comply with when you want to go and do your development. And in each development project would have to go to the Planning Commission or depending on what it is and what you want to go do. So, but this is like a general framework to say, you know, you can build a gas station here, for instance, or you can't build a gas station here, or you can't, you know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. You can build an apartment building here, or you can't build one here. And I think there's some provisions they want to change with respect to how you get approval and how much public input there is, and whether some of the city managers and department heads can just approve it without to streamline it. So some of the people say, well, that makes it faster and it makes it easier for developers. And other people say, no, you should continue to have the public input.
You should.
And
go in my opinion, because if you know, it may be my backyard, but at least I should have something to say.
Well, I agree. I think public input, certainly the opportunity for public input, whether they
take
it or not.
You've always stood for that. Yeah.
I've always stood for that. That's your job as a representative, is to assist people with their ability to make input and see if you can help them out if they have problems.
Yeah, well, now is under the new laws here in California, does part of this have to be offered out to since we're expanding? Does part of it have to be offered out to
affordable housing
groups?
That's a good question.
Well, of course.
That's part of the law.
Anytime that you're putting property out there for development. According to the state of California, you've got to offer this up to affordable housing to people first.
Correct. If it's city property, if it's private property, if you own a lot down there, you just have to comply with whatever the regulations
are. Right. So, and if you're privately funding that, you don't have to offer anything except for what you want to do. But you do have to go through, of course, city ordinance and plans and so on and so forth.
You have to go through all the rules, but if it's your property and you're funding it yourself or with a commercial loan, then
you're okay. Then you're safe.
Right. Then you don't have to offer it to affordable housing.
However, if you use any type of grant money, or if the city, you know, somehow gets involved with it, then that all those codicils come in.
Well, there's certainly a tag when you start using government money and all the conditions that they put on it, whether it's city, county, state, or federal. You know, you could see that right just with the Supreme Court. I think they upheld the vaccine mandate for Medicare, for healthcare workers, on the theory that the Medicare and Medicaid are federally funded programs, and so they can put that tagline on the receipt of those funds.
Right, but not private companies.
Not private companies.
Okay. We're here with Michael DeQuisto, who's joined us this morning after the city council meeting last night. When we come back, we want to talk about the raises that were approved last night in a 3-2 vote.
Correct.
But this portion of the show brought to you by one of Linda's favorite spots in the world, our Sleep Number bed. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I know last night you woke up this morning, actually, and said, I had the best night of sleep. You really
the last two nights.
You
last
just
two
it
nights.
Was so. I don't know if you changed your setting. I do know that the bottom, because we do have the dual bed. We have the what is it? The smart bed, that split top. And the bottom, when I was going to put the adjustments back this morning, the bottom part was up about 2 inches.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I hadn't dropped it, huh?
No. So it's very interesting how little what you can do is when you're testing, like if you, especially right now it's cold season and some people have allergies, if you change your setting with your bed at a certain angle, you may drain differently and not snore for some people. That they go to the Sleep Number bed specifically for these reasons. Yeah. And right now at our Sleep Number store, well, that's not my setting, was at 45, but right now at the Sleep Number store in at the Target Shopping Center,
you can get you can save up to $1,000 on the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, a special edition, plus special financing for a limited time. Now, special financing means you pay monthly payments and other criteria that you need to go to sleepnumber.com to find out what that is. My Sleep Number setting is 70, and like Linda says, there's so many things you can do to give yourself, enable yourself to have a great night's sleep, and it's all on Sleep Number. We'll be right back. 7:16 in the morning, 46 degrees, clear.
Last month, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors had the opportunity to not renew the contract for the Dominion voting machines. This was a lease agreement valued at over $2 million. Supervisor Modi voted to renew the lease agreement and continue using Dominion machines. Now we find out that a representative from Dominion Voting, Inc. has donated money directly to Modi's campaign account. Shasta County, you deserve better. Vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Turn your someday into today. The Shasta College spring semester begins January 19th, and now's the time to register for classes. First-time, full-time students, get your first 2 years tuition free. At Shasta College, we'll teach you the skills, give you the knowledge, and provide the training you need to unlock your potential. Reskill, upskill, or get transfer ready at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/apply.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Light, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, I'm Krista Reed, a teacher and mama bear. I've watched as Shasta County's Board of Supervisors put our children and youth last. This recall is a chance to put our kids first. Vote yes to recall Modi. Vote for Tim Garman, a papa bear who took a stand for Happy Valley's children. We need someone who will put our kids first. That person is Tim Garman. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Downtown, when you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the music
is. Oh, I love anything Petula Clark, man. She is.
Petula Clark.
She is a gem. I grew up listening to her wonderful music.
And she was older, too. But,
yeah.
I mean, she was an older singer, but she appealed to that,
yes.
You know, to those.
Her sound is great. She's got a niche.
Okay.
And life is always what it seems, you're always, you know, great, great music. Okay, Shasta Regional Medical Center brings us this segment. It can certify by the Joint Commission as an advanced primary stroke facility. That's really important right here, in folks, in Reading, that we have some of the experts in our city that can handle these kinds of things. Their team of experts provide preventative care and screening of high-risk patients, working together to provide high-quality care throughout the hospitalization to discharge. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. And I know, I was there for 4 days, never been in the hospital in my life, except for to visit people, but to be a patient for 4 days a few years back, it was, they treated me. I felt like I got great hospital care.
There you go. And speaking of great care, here's Michael DeQuisto, Reading City Councilman and Vice Mayor.
I think that puts me in charge of all the vice in Reading.
There you go. Some people think you should have been mayor at this point, but
well, I'm not going to complain. Whatever it is, it is.
Whatever it is, it is. Well, one of the things that happened last night was a raise that was brought up.
Yes.
For all the managers, including Barry Tippin, getting an 18% raise.
Might have been 16. But
or 16. 16, 18, whatever.
A pretty good size
Barry
raise.
DeWalt, the city attorney, who just got a raise, what was it, a year ago?
Yeah.
Big raise. And then he got another raise.
Yes.
And then so across the board on for the managers, they all got raises.
Well, so
yeah, and what brought this on?
Let me put it a little bit in context as I understand it. There was they always hire consultants whenever they want to find out something. And the consulting business is a great business if you find government to represent. So they hired a consultant to do a salary survey for the management level and unrepresented employees. And so there's maybe a dozen unions in round numbers that represent the different employees that work for the city of Reading.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a group of employees who are unrepresented, who have not unionized. And it's principally, it's the ones last night that got the raise. And so one of the things the city has tried to do is to, even though they don't have a union, is to keep them, I don't know if in parity is the right word, but to treat them the same way they treat the unions. If you give the unions a decent raise, you should treat these people the same way, not just because they're not in a union. Treat them worse. So they did a salary survey study. And one of the things that government does, and they've done this for a long time, is they will pick what they call comparable cities to compare the salaries to, on the theory that, for instance, if you're the police chief, there's no equivalent job, or there's hard to find a very equivalent job in the private sector. So you have to look at police chiefs in other municipalities. Same with the fire chief, same with the public service director, public works director, that kind of thing. So they pick a dozen or 10 cities, and there's always a question about whether the cities are close enough or not. So they pick Chico, which I don't have a problem with. They pick Davis, which is a little smaller. But a lot of these are on the I-80 corridor between Sacramento and San Francisco, and, you know, that's a lot more expensive down there. They pick Fairfield, Folsom, Lodi, Roseville, Tracy, Turlock, Vacaville, and Woodland. So when you looked at all those and you added them all up and you did the survey and you compared apples to apples and oranges to oranges, and what does this public works director get, and what does this assistant attorney get, and what does this so-and-so get, it turned out that on average Redding was 30% below what they call the market rate. And they were concerned that this would cause people to leave. It would make recruitment more difficult. It would slowly bleed away the city's talent, so to speak, which would ultimately result in less services being provided to the residents, or not as good a services as are currently being provided to the residents. So that was the underlying premise on which the whole thing started. The salary survey has been going on for, I think, a year. It takes a long time to get all that data together. And I will acknowledge it when you say I want to compare private jobs. Private employers don't have to tell you what they pay.
Right.
The public has to. So, you know, you call PG&E and go, what do you pay a lineman? And they go, we're not going to tell you what we pay a lineman. We don't have to. So that it makes it a little bit harder to
include. Linemen know how much they're being paid.
Well, what actually happens as a practical matter is the lineman will get an offer and then they'll bring it in and the city will say, how much is it? And then they'll know what the current pay is. So, it's not totally unavailable. It's just you can't get it with a phone call kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that was the basis on which the item was brought forward, was to help retain and help
Have there been any raises? Have there been any raises over the last 4 years for the management that you know? I mean, that you can remember.
No, I
know Barry DeWalt got one.
That was because
you've taken over a new mission there. And did that stay with him?
The theory for Mr. DeWalt's raise was a couple. He started off low when he first got hired.
Right.
And so there was sort of an understanding that after a few years, if he worked out, he would get a raise.
Okay.
An implicit understanding, and that's fair enough.
No, that's fair.
And then he came and I think he got one raise, and then they put the code enforcement section as part of the lawyer's office, so he has to manage more people, three or four more people, so they gave him another raise.
And is code enforcement still under him?
As far as I know.
Okay.
So yeah, okay. I haven't noticed any changes in code enforcement. I haven't noticed more code enforcement officers out there, but yes, it's my understanding is it's still under him and he has more responsibility.
Okay.
So
In your memory, there hasn't really been, has there been any raises for people like Tippin or?
Mr. Tippin got a raise. I believe he's evaluated every year. I think in the summertime we evaluate him. And I think last year we gave him a small raise.
Okay.
2.5% 1 year and 2.5% in another year. Okay. Something like that. So something that was reasonable for the work he had done. And he'd gone several years without a raise and we thought he was doing a good job. And I mean, I don't have a problem, as I said last night, I don't have a problem paying a decent wage, a fair wage for the work you do. And I don't have a problem. I understand there's inflation and people expect to get raises and this and that. And I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, it's interesting. Last night when Mr. Tippin was making his presentation, he said, if you look at the city of Chico and you go through the whole number analysis, the city of Redding is within 6 or 7% of Chico, a little bit less. And I think Chico's a pretty fair comparison. And it's sort of like, well, why are we giving 5 to 40% when Chico's 7? But that didn't sway the day.
Well, okay, but that was one of the cities.
That was one.
Now, aren't the other ones, like when Roseville, was that one of them?
I think Roseville and Folsom.
So Roseville's down there in Sacramento, and Folsom's right in the middle of Sacramento.
Some of those cities have a lot more money than we do.
And they also, but they're also in large areas where the costs are higher down there.
Well, yes, that's true. Although some people will say the costs are higher in Redding because you have to ship items up here and gas costs more. And it's the old story. And it's probably not the most apt analogy, but figures can always lie and liars can always figure.
That's true.
You can get figures to say anything you want them to say if you look at them the right way. And, you know, that's...
So Dan Beans is on his way down. He was on the show yesterday. He was on his way down to Roseville. REU had also done kind of a parallel study because he was having problems finding people, and he did a parallel study on salaries too.
So that's
is that correct.
That's correct. This study included REU and the unrepresented managers in the regular city part, and it didn't come up that way. I don't have an object. REU is a separate entity, even though the city runs it, and it's an important entity, and they've got lots of money, and the cost as a percentage to them is relatively insignificant as part of their whole budget. So I don't have a problem giving the proposed raises to the REU people.
Okay.
Because you need those people. You need linemen, you need this and that, and when there's only so many you compete with, and if they get taken away from you,
yeah.
You know, that's not going to be good.
And it is a business. It is electric. It is the, putting electricity on in our city for our businesses in our homes, and it's a separate business.
But totally.
It is. It's not like a human it's not like management of personnel or management of a park or those things. This is.
Well, there's some personnel management in there when you're.
Well, yeah, of course there is. I mean, those are soft skills, but they have hard skills.
They do.
In there.
They do.
Which is, you have to go out and find those people, especially linemen and those kind.
But one of the issues was, if we just give the raise, this high raise to REU, and we don't give it to the other employees, then you're going to have morale problems. And people are going to go, well, why did they get it and we didn't get it? And
well, maybe they'll get it this time, or maybe the thought
they
is...
They got it last night.
Well and I have some questions about
versa.
That. We need to take a quick break here, but I have some questions about that, too.
Sure.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by PSA2, Area Agency on Aging. They announced the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program. People that are older, not all people, of course, but some people that are older, your sense of balance starts going out.
That's true.
And, I mean, we've seen that in people we know.
Right.
And what they have here, this is a no-cost program, and the mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you're 60 or older or a person with a disability of any age, and you meet the income criteria and at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help you. And some of, they're going to, maybe make some changes at your home, like putting in grip areas, like in the bathroom or on stairs or things like this to help steady you. These are just some of the things they can do. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687. We'll be right back.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner when a bird, bird, bird. Bird is a winner when a bird, bird, bird. When a bird is a winner when a bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner when a bird, bird, bird. When a bird is a winner.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Do you have a friend that won't shut up about crypto? Are you interested but don't know where to go? What is Web3? How does it affect me? Who benefits from DeFi? Is one crypto best? Why? There's so much to know? Get answers with Tokens Radio Show. Connect with us on Telegram at t.me/tokensradioshow. Or tokensradioshow.com.
Sunday afternoons from 2 to 3.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%. And as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and DeBott. 7:36 in the morning here on the 19th of January, 2022. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. She has been doing this, Judy Maxwell being the she, since 1993. There's nobody better at what she does.
And her staff.
And her staff. What a great
we've
group
sent
of people
to
down
the,
there.
Yep, yeah, we've sent people to her before, and they've taken other, let's say, incidences where their insurance has done something crappy or crummy with them, and they're lost.
You didn't insure them right.
And then they sit down with Judy Maxwell and her team, and they are able to sit down face to face and figure it out, and that's all you want to do. You just want some attention.
Yeah. That's Judy Maxwell, Maxwell Insurance and Financial, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Give her a call at 221-0441. 7:37 in the morning, we're here with Michael DeQuisto. We're talking about the races last night. Now, Aaron Reznor said, and these were did somebody get a 40% raise last night?
There was one position that was 40% under the market, but it's a position that there is nobody in currently, and it's been vacant for 8 or 10 years.
What's that position?
I'd have to look
okay.
at the list.
I mean, could
you want to apply?
Can I apply for that?
I think it might be an engineering or a technical position,
okay.
But
hey, I'll stay at the Holiday Inn. Now, Chris.
Well, if you applied, it wouldn't be a 40% raise for you. It would just be whatever the new salary is.
Whatever the new salary is, that's true. Something Aaron Reznor said last night. What is the solution to finding qualified candidates aside from paying a competitive wage?
Well, that's interesting. I did notice that this morning, and they took that one quote out. It was a long discussion, and she directed that at me and at Councilmember Mazzano. And I gave an answer to that, which was not included in the record search.
Well, that's record search light is only gives one side a lot of times.
Well, for whatever reason. And the answer that I gave to that, you'd have to look at the tape for sure, but as I recall, I said, well, what about succession planning? It seems to me, because one of the issues was they've had trouble succession planning, and so I had a discussion with Mr. Tippin about who's responsible for succession planning. If you're a department head, you need to have somebody in the line. That's part of your job.
That's part of leadership.
You think?
Who's taking over from you if you get in a car wreck?
And Mr. Tippin acknowledged that ultimately it was his responsibility, and then beneath him was the department heads. He also acknowledged that that hadn't worked over the last 8 or 10 years. I mean, this has been a long-term problem. And we didn't get into a discussion as to why it hadn't worked.
Well, that's a good question, though, because...
Well, it is, because...
I know that having Dan Beans on yesterday, he has a succession plan. He has people there that he believes that can step up and do his job.
Well, succession planning,
that's just
one department. Succession planning is an ongoing, constant process and should be a specific job duty for all, certainly all the department heads.
Every leader needs to train somebody to take over from them.
And
is there a fear there?
I,
if I train this person, you know, they'll hire him.
I'm not sure it's the council's job to micromanage.
It's not.
Mr. Tippin, I don't think it is. And so that's why I didn't really want to get into, well, what about this and that? But he candidly acknowledged that they had not done as well with succession planning as he had hoped.
Okay. All right.
And so succession planning is one, and the salary is another issue. I mean, I acknowledge that if you're not paying the same as job in Chico or job in somewhere else and they want to go there, everybody should be free to go work wherever they want to go work.
Are we, we actually have positions that haven't been filled.
We have positions that have not been filled for a while.
Right. Now, part of the reason that Dan left, Dan Beans, was pay.
Yeah.
He has not had it raised, and he was 25% below what other people do. And that wasn't all. That wasn't the only reasons, of course. But you know, looking for new challenges and all these things. But part of it is the ability to do your job and be innovative. And I'm not saying this. I'm just using this as a broad thing here. But part of it is pleasure at what you're doing. I don't know how you measure that. But is it if people stay on their jobs?
That's probably an individual for each person is what it is. I mean, one of the things that Councilmember Mazzano brought up, and I think it's true, is that if you go to work for government, you might not make quite as much as you could in the private sector, but you'd certainly have job security. It's extremely difficult to fire a government employee. It just is. And there are some people that want the security. They want the security and to know that, you know, they have a job tomorrow and their odds are going to have – they're not at-will employees. They can't just be let go for no reason. So, you know, and I had – it was a hard decision last night for me. But at the end of the day, I said – because they also presented audited financial reports.
Okay.
So for the last 4 years, on our watch, the unfunded pensions and – the unfunded medical, what they call other post-employment benefits,
have gone
up. OPER. Yeah. They've gone up $31 million.
I saw that.
And so I asked about...
The unfunded liabilities have risen $31 million.
Yes,
over the last...
And the last year, just year to year, they rose $10
million. Well,
I asked the person presenting the report, I said, so is that number right? He goes, yes, it's right. And nobody challenged it. And I said, isn't that due to increases in pay? And I got, don't take it the wrong way, but I got what I thought was a gobbledygook government answer, which was, well, it has to do more with CalPERS and the discount rate and the return on investment and this and that. And we factored into our budget what we estimate the yearly payment is, so it's really nothing to worry about. And I just find that to be counterintuitive. To say you can give a raise and it's not going to increase your pension costs.
The unfunded liabilities, which way I have had it explained to me by people in power there, is it's like a mortgage. We pay this much every year, and at the end of 15 years, it's paid off. How can we do that if we keep adding to it?
It's like a mortgage, but it's not a fixed amount mortgage.
It's an adjustable rate mortgage.
It's an adjustable rate mortgage, and B, you add the balance owed can increase as well. So
the state can increase that without any type of warning if they have a bad year.
They just tell you. Well, they've spread it out over certain times. But the bottom line is the state is in charge of what the ultimate amount you owe is, not you. So, and the third difference is this is done with taxpayers' money, not money that you earn yourself. So if you have your own house and you want a loan like that and you say, I want an adjustable rate loan, I don't care what the balance is and whatever it is, and I'm willing to pay it every month. And if I don't pay it, I lose my house. That's fine. That's for you on your own personal basis and you can make that choice. But for the city to do that with money that's not theirs and to rely on future money that may or may not come in and how much it's going to come in and whether expenses there are, I think that's poor economic choices. And I think the ultimate responsibility relies on the council, and I think that the salary increases that were given in the past could have been negotiated stronger and better. And, you know, it bothers me that it's gone up $30 million in the time that I've been on the council. That bothers me.
Okay. We're here with Reading City Councilman Michael DeQuisto. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Supervisor Modi claims he protects your water rights, but on further investigation, we find Modi last year approved a water contract that scalped a small water district in the north part of Shasta County with a 250% increase over normal and in a state of emergency. The foundation that owned this water right now is linked to donating thousands of dollars to Modi's campaign. Shasta County, you deserve better. Vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Each year, millions of older adults suffers injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Berks Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Berks Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Berks Construction Management.
Vote yes, recall Modi. Recently, the Shasta County Planning Commission voted 5-0 to stop the Fountain Wind project. But when it came before the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, only Modi voted to support the project, bowing down to a special interest group instead of listening to the people. The Intermountain communities would have been devastated. Now we learn the same special interest group is donating thousands of dollars to Modi's campaign. Vote yes and recall Leonard Modi. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Yes.
Lindy and Carl, we're on from 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday.
I'm so engrossed.
We're in our last segment
I'm so engrossed with Michael DeQuisto and you guys and some of the great information here. Hey.
During the breaks is great.
Absolutely. Okay. Shout out to one of our sponsors, longtime sponsors, and that's Four Winds Jewelry. They've been with us since day one. In fact, before we even started the radio station, they made our wedding rings, and we happened upon a jewelry store.
The longest I've ever worn a ring in my life.
2225 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California. For all your jewelry needs, watch repair, and evaluations. Perhaps you want to have something done for insurance. That's Four Winds Jewelry. 222-2750.
Okay, we're here with Mike DeQuisto, Redding City Councilman. Now, it's not just the management that gets raises here. Is that correct?
That's correct. They're part of the study, in addition, they have a thing that the city calls compression, which is another fancy government word for you don't get paid. The differential between your job and the job below you or the job above you is getting too close.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens if you give a raise to one specific category and you don't do everybody. So it's a waterfall effect. When you give the raise to the manager, then you have to give a raise to the lower person, to the lower person, to the lower person. So
it's a cascade.
It's a cascade.
It's a cascade of wealth.
You said that, not me. But it's raises. So and that's one of the reasons that Councilmember Mazzano voted no. He can speak for himself, but he said it's across the board for everybody. You know,
it's one thing to look at the managers and say, okay, we're paying less. We're gonna, you know, it's tough getting people in here. Okay, let's at least match some of the other cities. But now everybody gets a raise. And was that part of the study?
Oh, there's a lot of people. The answer is yes. They included a number of different categories. The other issue that's going to happen is when the union contracts come up for negotiation, and they come up at different times, but it's essentially a rolling, which contract are we going to talk about now in closed session? They're all going to come and say, well, you just gave a 30% raise to the managers. That's our starting point.
Oh, yeah.
You know, why are we worth less than the managers? And what's your practical answer? You can say, well, you are worth less. You can't do that.
It's tough. No, but you could also say your sphere of influence is a lot smaller.
Well,
it's 30% smaller.
Well,
now, it says 88 positions. In the article, the total cost for the proposed raises for all 88 positions would be approximately $1.3 million a year, with $670,000 coming from the general fund. Where does the rest of it come from?
It comes from REU's contribution.
Okay. So, well, then it says 88. We have 88 managers?
Well, we have 88 people that would be affected by the proposal, not 88 managers. And in addition, what he also said is of those 48, of those 88 people are within 2 years of the ability to retire.
Oh,
yeah, they kind of left that out too. And that doesn't mean they will retire, but...
No, it doesn't.
But in 2 years, if they get a big fat pay hike and they want to retire at 50, that's increased substantially their pension.
At age 50?
At age 50. Well, I don't know the age for each of the 48 people, that's half of the people that are affected have the potential ability to retire, which would increase our pension obligations if you believe that giving raises increases pension obligations. If you don't believe it, I'm not sure what math school you went to.
Yeah, but that's right. Well, we need to be comparable. Otherwise, it's going to be tough getting people in those jobs. We need people.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah. But the fact that, like you said, over the last 10 years and in the last year especially, the amount of money that's been added to our unfunded liabilities, I mean, it's kind of like a mortgage that goes on forever.
It is.
And they can change the rules on it.
It is. And it's not secured by anything, so they can't take anything from you. It's like a credit card debt, essentially.
Yeah.
It's in control by somebody else. But,
it's
not your money. It's the taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
That's the part that I find most disconcerting is I think it could be managed better fiscally. Frankly, I think a 401k is a much better retirement option than trying to rely on the state or the county or the feds to pay your pension.
There's been another city or two have cut themselves loose from CalPERS, haven't they?
I'm not aware of anybody that's cut themselves loose completely, but what some of them have done, they've offered 401ks in addition to the CalPERS.
Oh, in addition to the CalPERS.
Yeah, in addition to the CalPERS.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a game of addition. It's rarely subtraction.
Well, I think what it is you know, people. It's like you said, you want a policeman to be at your door.
Mm-hmm.
You want the fireman to be at your door.
Right.
You want to be able to ride down the street without losing your car in a pothole. You want your trash collected. You want your water on. You want your electricity on. And to have that happen.
You want help and you want help.
Yeah, when you see that happen, but, you know, that doesn't happen by itself. And it happens in a hierarchy.
No, I agree. It does happen in a hierarchy. And I agree that you need managers to make sure that there's proper budgets and proper staffing and those allocations work. I agree with that. My point in saying that was that the average citizen is not going to see the trash picked up more often.
Right.
Is not going to see the sewer getting fixed more often. Or the potholes getting fixed more often. I mean, one of the things I asked is I asked Mr. Tippin, I said, well, here's a whole number of choices. I said, could the council use this money for street repair? And he said, yes. I said, how about sewer and water line replacement? He said, yes. I said, how about repaying the REU loan for the soccer park? He said, yes.
Well, wait,
I said, what about the firehouse improvements? He said, yes. I said, what about possibly police web cameras? He said, the council can use this money for anything they want. So, you know, nobody else jumped on any of that. They want to use it for raises.
Speaking of the soccer park, is the city did the city forgive the say that you don't have to pay back REU?
Not yet.
Is that going to happen?
I can't predict the future.
But that was one of the things, is that when REU loaned the money for the soccer park, which we need, it was going to be paid back.
It should be paid back. It's a loan.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go to the phones. Richard, we have a caller. Do you have a question for the guest?
Oh, I have a quick question, and I actually have an answer. But here's the question. I wonder why governments or local governments do not hire an economist to do Milton Friedman's, Thomas Sowell's economic principles with the private public sectors, to give them, you know, the basic economies of law and advise on what they're spending on. Gee, I wonder why they don't hire an economist. Actually, I'll let you guys answer that. Thank
okay.
you so much.
Thanks, Richard.
I think they expect the city council to be the economist at the end of the day, and they expect the city manager to hire the appropriate consultants to do it. I've always said that economics, one, just basic supply and demand, is something that everybody in government should learn and take and figure out, because it's not complicated. And I believe at the end of the day, being on city council is really about dollars that come in and dollars that go out, and how you manage what comes in, how you manage what goes out, and what your priorities are. That's really the heart of your job as a council person, is the budget and the money.
I agree. You know, so much comes in, so much goes out. But right now, we're on solid footing. We have more coming in than going out.
Right now, we're on good income versus expense footing, leaving out the long-term liabilities. If you look at the day-to-day operations, we're doing, the city is in sound financial position today.
Today. But that can change.
It could change any time.
It can change. We get another shutdown like we did. the other last thing, we have a minute left, is that keeping the board, or keeping the city council chambers open, is going on right now.
At the moment, it is. That's the mayor's prerogative as the mayor's.
And Schrader. Mayor Schrader has said that people can still come in.
Correct. And I believe last night she changed it slightly, and we asked that the people come in one at a time, as opposed to everybody coming in for a big room. And
I don't see any problem with that, as long as you know they're on the opposite ends of the room.
It was cold outside, and some had to wait outside, but.
Oh.
It's a big chamber, so if I was the mayor, I would certainly let them come in and just ask them to be respectful, if they could wear a mask, if they want one.
And spread out.
It's a huge chamber, holds 200-some people, and what do we get, 10 people maybe that want to come and talk, if that?
Yeah, you all dodged the bullet this year, unlike the board of supervisors.
Just wait.
Who were in the beaten zone. Okay, well, you know, thanks so much, Michael, for coming
really
in here.
Really do appreciate it.
And the other thing that we appreciate, a lot of people appreciate, is that you put it out on Facebook, because a lot of people wouldn't even know that there was a big meeting last night, and that it was about raises at, you know, in these percentages, and it gets people thinking about it. And then today, talking on, you know, our unfunded liabilities have gone up. At the same time, we have to keep good people here.
It's a problem.
It is in hiring other people in that succession thing that you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a problem. But I try to be transparent. I try to put it out.
Exactly. The word I was just reaching for. We really appreciate you really stand for transparency. And you come on the air on the morning show here and you speak your truth. And that's something that we respect about you, really.
Well, thank you very much.
For your leadership that way.
So you're running again?
If you're going to run.
I may call your bluff on that one. We'll be right back with Sheriff Mike Johnson.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Something he doesn't do very often, President Biden holds a news conference today. This one will mark the start of his second year in office.
On the eve of his one-year anniversary, the president will face reporters in the East Room and their questions about his handling of the pandemic, the economy, and new threats from Russia. This afternoon's press conference also comes at a low political point for Mr. Biden. His approval ratings are low, inflation is at a 40-year high, and his legislative agenda is stalled in Congress. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The University of Michigan agrees to a $490 million settlement with hundreds of people who say they were sexually assaulted by a former school doctor.
Attorney Parker Steiner says 1,050 survivors will share in the settlement, which was confirmed by the university. Dr. Robert Anderson worked there from 1966 until 2003. He was director of health services and a physician for multiple athletic teams, including football.
Correspondent Julie Walker reports Anderson died in 2008. So far, no reports of any problems from the rollout of 5G mobile phone technology near American airports. There are concerns it could interfere with sensitive instruments on some aircraft. UK aviation safety expert Captain Mike Vivian confident of a solution soon.
I suspect that the industry in the United States and the manufacturers and the regulator will solve this, if not by more buffer zones, by introducing better equipment on the aircraft or modifying that equipment on those aircraft which are affected.
With COVID infections leveling off across large parts of England, face masks will no longer be mandatory in public places and in schools. On Wall Street, the Dow down 32 points, the Nasdaq 5 points in the red. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Let's ring in the new year by checking off an important to-do. Your old videotapes and photos are fading as each year passes. VCRs are becoming extinct, and the clock is ticking to save your family's most cherished memories. Hi, I'm Adam Baselager.
And I'm Nick Mako. We started Legacy Box to help you preserve your captured moments by converting all your videotapes, photos, and even film reels into perfectly preserved digital files. Legacy Box is the easiest resolution to do and can be done in minutes. Just fill your Legacy Box, send it in, and we'll send it back with your memories perfectly preserved. Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos. All the work is done right here in the USA, and over a million customers have trusted Legacy Box. Let's kick off the new year right by rescuing your memories that haven't been watched or enjoyed in years. Order your Legacy Box today. Go to legacybox.com/lbox for 40% off your Legacy Box. That's legacybox.com/lbox for 40% off. legacybox.com/lbox.
Israel's prime minister expressing doubts about a nuclear deal with Iran during a speech in Switzerland. We get the latest from the Media Line's Michael Friedson.
Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has warned world leaders assembled in Davos, Switzerland, that the result of a nuclear deal providing Iran with billions of dollars will be what he called terror on steroids. Bennett has picked up the gauntlet of former Prime Minister Netanyahu, trying, as his predecessor did, to convince world powers that rather than prevent the Iranians from building nuclear weapons, any deal like the one put forth by President Obama in 2015 and scrapped by President Trump in 2018 will accelerate and assure that the Iranians will perfect rather than prevent nuclear weapons. Israel has declared it will stand alone rather than be party to any agreement. I'm Michael Friedson, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
News and analysis at themedialine.org and townhall.com. He was said to be the world's oldest man.
Guinness World Records says Saturnino de la Fuente is dead at the age of 112. A spokesman says the elderly gentleman passed away at home in Leon in northwest Spain. He was born February 11th, 1909. He was a cobbler who survived the Spanish flu pandemic, went on to marry, have 8 children, 14 grandchildren, and 22 great-grandchildren. Jason Walker reporting.
The French Senate has voted in favor of banning the wearing of headscarves in sports competitions, arguing that neutrality is a requirement on the field of play, stipulating that the wearing of conspicuous religious symbols is prohibited. Take part in events and competitions organized by sports federations. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Yep, there it is. It's Wednesday, it's hump day, and we are halfway through our show today. Good morning.
Did that commercial start with Super Bowl?
It could have.
Because some of the best commercials start with the Super Bowl weekend. Now, I don't know. That's
we love to look for the commercials at halftime. I don't even remember what it has to do with, except that it was, it's hump day. And so it has to be probably a beer commercial.
No, it's a Geico commercial.
Geico commercial.
Oh,
okay.
Well, they do funny ones.
Anyway, 8:05 in the morning here. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Care and compassion. Community. Courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Today, the 19th of January, 2022. Good morning there to our producer, Jared. And Jared, is there a national day today?
Good morning. It's National Popcorn Day.
Ooh.
Okay, we like that day.
We do like popcorn, especially layered with lots of butter. sunny today with a high of 66. Beautiful day outside when you step outside. Just a light jacket will do. Partly cloudy tonight with overnight lows of 47. Thursday calls for a high of 69. That's tomorrow and Thursday night with our overnight lows of 44. Friday, we have a beautiful forecast for the weekend. 65, sunny on Friday, sunny on Saturday with 67, and Sunday 68. There's no rain in the forecast, but we have beautiful weather and beautiful skies. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, where they definitely encourage senior and veteran discounts with your propane and gas needs. That's located in Anderson, 365-3793. We are so excited to be here this morning, 8:07 in the morning, and this is KCNR for all of you people listening online at KCNR1460.com. Happy Wednesday to you. It is the 19th of January, and with us this morning is our sheriff.
Good morning.
The one and only.
Good morning.
The head honcho.
Or as we call him, the snake charmer.
Hey, do you guys know what day it is?
It's hump day.
Yes,
it's hump day.
Come on, Jolie. Come on.
Do you just like that because your name is Mike?
Mike. Yes, I love it too. You know, it makes me laugh every time.
Yes, Mike, we play it for you, Mike.
Okay, so you've been wearing the badge and you've been in the position sheriff for 5 months. All right, so give us the highs of what's happened for you in the last 5 months. What's it meant to you?
What's it meant to me? It's the highs. I still have more good days than bad days.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, hey. I still don't regret taking it on. The highs are that we've begun to, regroup and improve services for the citizens through the Shasta County Sheriff's Office. That is the ultimate high because that's the goal. Every agency does, we have a long way to go. We're not exactly there yet, if you will, but there are already, I've said this a million times, I walked into an organization where there's just a ton of really dedicated and really smart and good men and women in an organization, and that part helps right off the bat, right? So it's not the personnel. It's a matter of staffing, a little shortage of staffings, and getting to know the agency a little bit more, getting to know the county a little bit better, and meeting the people in the different regions. So those are the highs. Those are definitely the highs of what's been going on.
So when you come into office, just help our listeners and for me as well, because I'm a visual person. I want to see when you come in, it takes a while before you see how the organization, the sheriff's office here of Shasta County, has been run.
Correct.
Or what you can bring in order to, like your head coach, just like that's the analogy. And you've got your game plan and you're trying to tweak the players or try to tweak the, you know, the calls or how it's run. Is that really basically what happens?
That is definitely what happens is you come, you know, especially when you come into an organization or agency or, and we're talking private business as well, and you're an outside guy. Not, you know, I didn't grow up in the sheriff's office organization and especially in the Shasta sheriff's office organization. So there's a lot of institutional knowledge that a lot of people in that organization have that I don't. And so I don't have a clear understanding of how things work in that agency. And on top of that, I've gone from city government my whole life to now county government, and there's a huge difference in the way things are done between those two. So assessing all that, getting to know the people in the organization, like say how the different factions in that organization run and affect one another. And then really as my job as coach, if you will, is to get the right people in the right places so the organization will run more efficiently. And so that's what I've been trying to do. Met with everybody in the agency, got their perspective, figured out, you know, I've been there 5 months now, as you mentioned, so starting to get a pretty good idea of who the real workers are, the dedicated people, what their talents are, where they should be. And now we're starting to do some of that.
Starting to move some things around.
Correct.
Yeah.
Are you recruiting?
Oh my gosh, am I recruiting? Yes. And yesterday, in fact, if you didn't see, the Board of Supervisors approved an incentive plan that I had put forward for hiring. So $15,000 signing bonus for a lateral deputy. $15,000 signing bonus for a lateral correctional deputy in the jail, and then there's other incentives for new hires as well.
Well, you have to do that.
Yeah,
because other cities are doing the same thing.
Got to stay competitive, exactly, and hopefully this will be a little uptick in our hiring. But we've got several people in backgrounds for several different positions in the organization right now. So we've been recruiting pretty hard.
You just put on, I'm going to say four deputies here in the last couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been that many, or has it been?
Oh yeah, that's how many we had come out, and we've got I think four lined up to go in the next, starting in these next academies, and we have, I think, about five in background right now, and same for correctional side too. So
we're starting.
Now, whether they make it through the background or not is a whole other thing.
Yeah, but that's true.
You know, there's still at least something positive. We got some light at the end of the tunnel coming a little bit here, but still, again, can't stop that effort and still have a lot of holes to fill.
How many people do you usually lose a month through attrition? Probably mainly by retirements.
Yeah, that's a tough. Are you talking about organizational wide, or
yeah? Well, mainly on the law enforcement side itself. I mean, it's one thing to lose somebody in personnel, but it's something else to lose somebody that's in a car driving around.
Yeah, you know, Carl, that really kind of ebbs and tides. I would say on average you lose 2 to 3, but some months it's none, and some months it's 5. You know, it's mm-hmm. That's what makes it difficult, because when you're losing them in those surges, that's where your staff is really affected, because then the people that are working have to pick up the slack, and there's forced overtimes, and you know, vacations canceled and other things, so it makes it tough.
Okay. We're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Estate Granite and Mike Huber, a veteran-owned business, a guy who's got an eye for taking your ideas and being able to implement them in a makeover of your kitchen, your bathroom, other rooms in your house. There's nobody better than Mike Huber. For a free meeting and a free consultation, give him a call at 241-STONE or learn more at estategranite.com. Mike Huber, veteran-owned business, he's one of the good guys. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Last month, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors had the opportunity to not renew the contract for the Dominion voting machines. This was a lease agreement valued at over $2 million. Supervisor Modi voted to renew the lease agreement and continue using Dominion machines. Now we find out that a representative from Dominion Voting, Inc. has donated money directly to Modi's campaign account. Shasta County, you deserve better. Vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
When it comes to best breakfast, you know Black Bear Diner is the place to be. But have you considered feeding your dinner bear there? Nothing says comfort like slow-cooked pot roast, house-made meatloaf, or a tender breaded chicken fried steak. These dinners will take you back to the best home cooking comfort you know. Served daily at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diver.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, I'm Krista Reed, a teacher and mama bear. I've watched as Shasta County's Board of Supervisors put our children and youth last. This recall is a chance to put our kids first. Vote yes to recall Modi. Vote for Tim Garman, a papa bear who took a stand for Happy Valley's children. We need someone who will put our kids first. That person is Tim Garman. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Linda and I are on from 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and Crackmaster Windshield Repair is bringing us this segment. A veteran-owned business. This man takes no chances with your safety. No, Jeff knows what he's doing. He fixed a 8-inch crack, maybe even a 10-inch crack on my windshield back in 2007, and you still can't see it. That's the kind of work this guy does. A chip, a very small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. Bring your car down for a free inspection and analysis at 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 241-8373 today. We're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson. The marijuana eradication, you hit the ground running.
And then we got Carl so fired up in the break there that we made him stumble, didn't we?
Yeah, that's absolutely good. But you know what? He's volunteering, so there you go.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't even going to bring that up, but since it came up. But
it's all right. I'll take it. Yeah. Carl's had a volunteer application in for quite some time because he's volunteered graciously to help with the CCWs. And His volunteer application has been shoved aside quite a few times because of everything I just explained to you all, that we have so many people. We've been in background, only so many background investigators. So Carl got a little fired up at me at the break there and let me have it.
You know what? You're lucky because Trish Clark put hers in, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad Trish is in here to fire up on me, too.
Oh, no, man. This is nothing that what Trish would be saying.
No.
True.
That was mild.
It's okay. I'll take it. I'll take it.
The marijuana eradication, I mean, the first month you were there, you went out after a number of large crows.
Yes, correct.
Everything you read, you know, oh, gosh, when we legalized marijuana, that was the panacea. Well, as it turns out, that it's even worse now.
Yep, it is. And it's, you know, and we covered this a little bit before, Carl, you know, since we didn't have a marijuana unit in Shasta County for 5 or 6 years, it really got out of control. So now we have to fall back and refocus our efforts and take back our county, which we're doing. We haven't quit. I haven't been out preaching that quite as much because I don't want that to be the topic that I have to talk about every time to people, but know that we are still doing it. In fact, we got an operation going this week. So I have added, speaking of volunteers, I have added a retired sheriff's office deputy who worked marijuana for years and on the eradication team. He's agreed to come back and assist our team. So we got him through the volunteer process. He volunteered before you, Carl, just for your well-being.
No, that's okay.
So that'll be a help. And, you know, as we go into the new budget year, and we're hoping to get that budgeted so we can get some full-time people. And again, like I've said all the time, it takes staffing. So I got to have the staffing to do it.
It comes right down to that. And staff, you know, I would tell people, can you get that done? Yeah. If you give me enough people and money, I can do anything.
Right.
And that's what it usually comes down to. It seems like violence has become more endemic, even up here.
Yep.
In Shasta County.
It has. I would say that it has across the nation.
What are your thoughts on that? Is there more violent activities happening here in Shasta County?
I would say yes. Probably not. There's probably more major crime going on in Shasta County than there has been, at least since I've been here, and from everything I know, and the history even farther back than that, it wasn't nearly as bad. But yeah, it has been increasing. There's several things involved with that. You know, there's the current climate of the world, if you will, the political climate. There is the California and their great wisdom of decriminalizing everything and not holding anybody accountable certainly emboldens people to act out and do more things that they wouldn't typically do, at least have, you know, the factor, fear factor of the law enforcement is going to get them and put them in prison. And I think that fear factor has gone away a lot. It's still there to a degree, but I just think people are more bold. People are more, I think there's less people working. I think there's more people in poverty. All those things, I think, contribute to our problem.
I'm thinking of that case out on Lake Boulevard,
mm-hmm.
the older couple that were killed.
Yep.
Now, y'all captured the guy
mm-hmm.
immediately.
Correct.
So that was kind of like he was living on the property and all that. There was another case where an 80-year-old lady had her door kicked in. You know, I mean, those are the kind of – it's one thing to have crime on crime for criminals where they break into a house that's got marijuana and money and there's a shootout or whatever.
And dope rip-offs, yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing. But when you start seeing things happening to innocent people, mm-hmm. that's where my concern comes
in. Starts to raise a red flag, sure. And for us too, Carl, that's those things are very concerning. And, you know – I don't know if I give you an exact percentage, but I'd say a heavily percentage amount of the time, those are connected with drug use or mental health and or both. More so drug use. People just get out of their minds with some of the addiction and drug use, and they do things that are just unheard of.
Unheard of.
Yeah.
That's the right word.
Yeah.
And because there's just nothing there left.
Nothing there left, and... You know, it's up to society to identify that, and sooner or later, I'm hopeful that the pendulum's going to swing back to more towards accountability and corrections, and because there's just some people that don't understand anything else, and that's the reality of it. You know, people always want to make excuses for some of these criminals like that. They'll say, well, poor people are on drugs, or poor people had mental illness, or this or that. Well, there's a level of accountability that comes with that, because some of these people do not care and do not want help and don't have no thought of even going down that direction to be part of normal civilization or contribute to their communities. And those people need to be locked up, plain and simple. And the ones that we can help, I'm all for helping, but the ones that don't understand that language and need to be locked up, this guy's ready to put them back in prison. And I'm hoping that someday we'll get back to that kind of philosophy.
Well, let's talk about our jail. You know, we had your thank you for sending over your captain in charge of
jail. Oh, sure. Sure, yeah.
A very articulate young man. Understands the problems there,
yes, he
obviously.
Does.
Unless we get more beds, this is not going to change. So what we're doing, anything we do is like insanity. You keep doing the same thing over and over again with the same results.
Right.
What's being done by the county, because they hired Eric Magrini, from the way I understand it, is to put this plan together, and I probably should try and get Eric on. Yeah, is there plans being made somehow for to find the money to build a new jail?
Yes, absolutely there are. We've actually had one beginning meeting, and we're going to have another pretty focused meeting next month where the CAO, Matt Pontes, is committed to putting several million dollars aside each year, and hopefully within optimistically, I'd say 4 to 5 years, you'll see that the new facility built out. And just adding beds to their current facility, Carl Linda, is not going to be the answer for us, because that jail is so old and antiquated, and mental health is being forced on the jails now because we don't have those facilities. We don't have the facility to handle that and to correctly set up for that, nor do we have the staff with that higher level of training to deal with mental health people. So in building out a new facility which we're headed, we will have all those things. We'll have a component for mental health. We'll have a component for drug addiction. We'll have a component for work release. We'll have a component for education. And we'll have a component that is locked down for the people that don't understand anything else. So if we can get to that point and build that facility for this county, and we can get all of our partners to cooperate and collaborate in this effort, where it's a multi-service campus that serves all those needs for the county, we'll be able to make some headway, and it'll be a game changer for this county.
Is it best to build an entirely new structure and just get rid of the old jail and put a 1,000-bed structure up?
Absolutely.
One floor?
Single level.
Single
kind of
level.
Like the spoke and a wheel. You have the central's the hub, and then you have the different offshoots for the different.
Yeah, mental health.
Right.
Real bad guys, not so bad guys, girls.
I went and saw a fantastic brand new jail in Santa Barbara and toured it to get an idea of how they're running it. So they're running it with half the staff they used to. Brand new jail, and it's just set up.
It's automated.
It's just incredible. Just the way it's laid out, $120 million was the price tag on that jail. So,
Santa Barbara's got a lot of money.
Building, materials, all that, as we know, has doubled and tripled due to COVID. And now you're looking at wanting a jail. So,
how many beds was the Santa Barbara?
It's a 400-bed jail, but it's the second jail in the county. They have a north and a south. So this one supplements the one that kept the old one open, because their old one is not
old
and as antiquated as ours is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking a $100 million bill for a new jail.
That was in Santa Barbara. But how many beds do we have here?
We have about 480 beds, roughly 484, I think, is our capacity here. Now, that's not what's operational for us, and because we have to keep a certain percentage off of that, about 90%, and that's not all just standard beds for any criminal, because we actually do run a program here where we accommodate, as I'm sure Captain Randall probably told you, we accommodate a certain percentage of mental health and low-level offenders and different things. So there's more dynamics to it than just the beds you have. There's the different classifications that you're running in there. And
it's, you just can't put everybody in the same.
Exactly. But so what, in your experience in law enforcement, what would you say that you've witnessed those who, men and women, that have been, have gone to jail that really want to get better under the current, the rules and regulations that we have today? I'm talking, let's say, in the last 8 years, 8 to 10 years, what do you, would you say the percentage would be of those that want to change their lives and for a, to become better, get clean, be, you know, get out into society?
That's a good question.
It is a good question, and that's a tough one to answer. I would optimistically say for them 50%.
That's pretty optimistic.
Yeah. What have you
pretty
seen?
Pretty optimistic, but there's a difference between saying that they want to and actually
absolutely
following through, right?
Right.
Because I'd say 50% would say they want to, but probably 50% of that 50% actually will take some efforts and some steps to help themselves. It's a small percentage, Linda. It's not like people think. There's not a bunch of people out there just wanting these services so bad where they're willing to go out and pursue it. Because I think I might have told you this, Carl, before. When I was in Leadership Reading in 2016, we did a an exercise where we were, you know, you're put in a group and you were supposed to know how to get resources if you were low income or in need or homeless and figure it out. Well, in that learning curve for us, they identified there was 52 different services right here in the city of Reading to help with those situations.
Right.
52. And yet you still see the problem you do out on the street. Now, there's a lot of other factors that come into this.
Right.
So I'm simplifying it very much, right? But I could tell you this. Of people that want to change their lives and we can help, there's two factors that have to be there, absolutely have to be there. First and foremost, they have to truly want to change their life. They have to want to, and they have to be a participant in that. And the second is they have to have some sort of support network, which is usually family. Sometimes it's friends, but more so or not, a family member or two that is truly going to be there for support. If they have those two things together, then usually they can get there. But there's a lot of hurdles along the way, right?
A lot of hurdles along the way. And the reason we've got to take a break, and, you know, I'm going to, without saying names, without, you know, I just want to kind of bring to this conversation after the break a situation that I came upon yesterday about somebody who's been through the system and can't seem to get clean, and it's been months and months, family, the whole thing. So I'm just kind of like, I'm curious as to, at that point, you don't give up, but you've got to figure out, like, we've got all the opportunities, but you still want to stay in the drug world.
So that would fall back to the number one thing I said. This sounds like this person has the support and the family, but
doesn't
really
have
the want.
Doesn't have the will. So we need to take a break here. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you, because I'd like to pursue that a little bit longer, too. Brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Been in business here 15 years. They're opening their new branch in Anderson this month. They've got three other branches, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, right downtown, right, and I'm running down there right after the show to get some checks, because I have a bank account, but no checks. 1845 California Street, and of course the main branch over in the Cobblestone Shopping Center. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. They have been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened. We'll be right back.
world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Kate Dinner.
You know what, Carl? That album, Bat Out of Hell, has been in 3 different combat zones.
I bet.
Me.
Yeah, you can imagine that. I could see.
We went through the gap playing that loud.
The gap?
Yeah, when we blew the gap in the berms there, and then it was in Somalia. Mm. And it was been in Iraq twice. So nice. Yeah, you know what? Meatloaf. Whatever happened to him? Hey, we're here
There's
with
a documentary on him. It's very interesting. I'm gonna look it up while we're on the line. But anyway, go hey. Don't roll your hands like
I
that.
Can.
You need to move along.
I know. Move along.
I get to finish my thought.
Okay.
Colonel. I am not under your command.
Oh. Sheriff Johnson here with your married couple on the radio.
Sheriff Michael Johnson, part of what he does is marriage counseling. You know, Bob Blonsky, right before a break one time, said, children. We were having a little argument. We're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson, Shasta County Sheriff. We're talking about marijuana eradication. We're talking about the thing, and it's a good question, is that how many really want to help themselves? And you gave a real good answer. One, they've got to want to help themselves. Mm-hmm. And two, they need a support network. And family is usually the ones that do it. If you have people that constantly fall back into bad situations, and they put themselves back into those situations, how many chances do they keep getting?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question there is, you know, because they'll some of the experts will tell you it's different for everybody, and they need a lot of chances, and some don't need as many. But I would tell you that the simple concept that has been proven through history is that when you enable somebody or something, any living organism, they will take the path of less resistance, and they will take advantage in the long run, and that's what happens. Tough love is part of the equation, and that's called accountability. And I don't just preach it. I have lived it. I have a son, my older son, who's 34 years old and lives in San Diego now. Wasn't an addict or anything, but when he was, after he graduated high school, he wasn't doing much, and he was out running amok and, you know, drinking and partying and doing stuff and living at home. And, I kept pushing him, to either go to college or get a job and work and this and that. And that never came around. So he came home one day to all of his stuff packed in black plastic bags on the porch, and I kicked him out, and he had nowhere to go, but he was given his chances, and then we had to draw the line. So
that must have been hard, because all of a sudden he's like, well, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
How long did it take him before he realized this is real?
Yeah, it took him at least 6 months to come around. He was mad and angry.
Yes.
He wouldn't talk to us for a few months, and then he started talking to us slowly. Then he kind of realized what he had and where his life was going, and he got his act together really good. He's a great kid now, very, very participant in his community, very upstanding family guy, very proud of him, but that was a rough patch, right? And I could have easily enabled him and kept allowing him to come live here and hear his excuse.
And bend
after
your
excuse.
Rules, because people do that all the time. Well, yep. Okay, but here's the rules. If you're going to live in this house, these are the rules, whatever they are,
mm-hmm.
You know. Sure. And so so I'm wondering about the psychological aspect of, and I'm sure that would be a program to itself, but we were talking before the break about just personally knowing somebody who has a son that went to jail on a drug charge, and I don't know if he was in there for a year or two, I think it was a year, and got clean, got sober, came back, was trying to follow the program for a while, but then the sliding back of being around the criminal element of the former friends.
Mm-hmm. And so we call that a choice, right?
Right.
He's making that choice because he got there, basically, and he just needed to follow through. And so he made the choice.
He made the choice.
Therefore, he should be held accountable.
Yes.
And that's the bottom line, is what everybody's saying. We do not have a way of holding people accountable right now.
Right.
They get a ticket, and they can either show up or not. And if they don't show up, okay, now we have a warrant for their arrest. But let's just say, you know, we just know that if they do get arrested, it takes more time for your officers and the police. And they get turned loose again.
Right.
And it just goes on and on. Let's switch gears here.
Okay.
CCW is in the county.
Okay.
We are constantly have big classes. And
yeah.
I'm sure other people have, you know, classes also. What's going on with the CCW in Shasta County?
Well, we've made a lot of headway. When we opened that for the weekend, and we had a line of, I don't know how many hundreds of people, we made a lot of headway, and we knocked that waiting list down quite a bit. Now, from talking to you, it sounds like it's starting to creep
back up to February 18th or 20th.
Okay, and that's not acceptable. We kind of wanted to get it to 60 to 30 days out. There's a 30-day wait period that we, minimum, that we can't do anything about. That has to do with your prints coming back from DOJ, and they're no faster than that. So we know that. But we don't want to be the holdup on our end, so we're tacking on another 30 days to that. So now you're 60 days out initially. If we could keep that window at the most, we're doing pretty good, but I don't want it to creep farther. So we opened it again. They started opening it on Friday afternoons. Last Friday they did.
Now, is this the initial, or are these renewals?
I thought they were renewals. I'm not sure.
A renewal doesn't have to go back through a background check, does it?
No, not a full background check. No, I would say this, Carl. It depends on the situation. Some do, some don't. It depends. Some need to be interviewed, some don't. That's part of the what we're trying to work out in the program is, because we got to the point where we were doing interviews for every single renewal, which was definitely not needed. So we've fallen back on that. And I could tell you this, the guy that I tasked with, overseeing this program and refining this program and streamlining it is a very sharp guy. His name is Sergeant Jerry Fernandez. As a matter of fact, I just promoted him to lieutenant, and he'll be promoted officially here pretty soon. But I just had this conversation with him yesterday, and he didn't know if he'd still be going to the CCW statewide class that's coming up to run the programs. And I said, well, Jerry, you don't quite get to dump this this task yet, because you're doing good with it, and we want to see it through.
And I realize that the state, you know, they have no wherewithal. Not wherewithal is not the right word. They have no sense of urgency.
No.
The state doesn't at all.
No, they don't.
But the fact is that we're very fortunate living in a county where a sheriff believes that you should be armed. And
absolutely.
And both the chief and you are both in very much in favor of the armed citizen.
Right. And you know what, Carl, and I'm glad you said that, because 100% am I supportive of Second Amendment rights and CCWs. And I want to make this program pretty seamless and easy, because these are our good folks of our county. These are people who are there to help protect our county, protect their families, and everything else. So I want to make sure it continues to be good. The switch over to automated online is always painful, no matter what you do, no matter what program, where you're at. When you switch over and you change programs, there's a lot of kinks to work out.
Well,
that's what
we're
doing.
Well, let me tell you about that. It worked for me. I uploaded the information. I uploaded the information, and there was something I had not uploaded. It came back, said, I need this. I uploaded that, and then I got my, and then it came back with a date for me to go in there for my renewal. and so that portion of it for me worked fine. But if you don't have a computer,
right,
it can be a problem. You have to come in.
Which is why we're putting a kiosk in the lobby.
Sounds great. We've got to
take a
break.
Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Chief Sheriff. How are you doing?
Good morning, Terry.
Morning.
Quick question about the CCWs. If it takes a law-abiding citizen 60 days to get a renewal, do you suggest that they begin their renewal 60 days before their present permit expires? Would that be something that people maybe should do? Or
yes, Terry, absolutely. I think that people should start the process well before their renewal date, because of the problem we're having. Now, once again, I'd like to cut that down and say that time's not going to be that always, but it is what it is for right now. So, yes, I would. And we're giving some grace period to that, because we know part of this is all our fault. So somebody starts it before the renewal date and they couldn't get in because of us, then we accommodate that.
Well, yeah, that'd be good, because if we had some sort of rule of thumb, that would help, because there's a lot of law-abiding citizens that if they're out, they don't have their CCW for 60 days, are they not allowed to have their Second Amendment rights?
Well, technically, yeah. If you're
technically, no. know, but yeah, go ahead.
Expires, then yeah, that's technically it. So we don't even want to have to go down that road. We'd rather people start a little earlier, and we'd rather we be a little more efficient, and we don't have to cross that bridge.
Thanks, Terry. Those are good questions. Okay, we're
going
to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, my barbershop of choice. They give great haircuts. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments only. 244-9478 is the phone number, and it's man's last stronghold. That's Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side.
Recently, Supervisor Modi claimed he helped crack down on illegal cannabis. But it was Modi's actions 6 years ago that dismembered Shasta County's marijuana eradication team. Now over 7,000 organized grows have invaded Shasta County with devastating effects. Even the Mexican drug cartel finds it easier to grow in Shasta County than in their own country. If you want a safe and secure Shasta County, vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
In the last month, Supervisor Modi used our tax dollars to give substantial raises to county department heads, many of which had received raises just 6 months ago. Modi claims the county is currently low on funds, and yet without batting an eye, he willingly raised salaries to individuals who are already grossly overpaid. Don't allow Modi to continue to waste our money. Vote yes to recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Okay, I know why you're playing that. It's because I was talking about playing Bat Out of Hell, and in Apocalypse Now, they played Flight of the Valkyries going in on the attack with the helicopters.
Cool.
Is that
yeah.
it, Jared?
Sheer coincidence.
Oh, okay. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and DeBott. We're here 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. Tomorrow, Thursday.
Trish Clark?
Trish Clark's going to be here. I believe Reading Rancheria is going to join us tomorrow. And then we'll also have kind of like an open line where we chit-chat and solve all the world's problems. We're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson, and let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning. You have a question.
Good morning. No, I just have a positive comment for the sheriff and his response time. We had an incident last September. We were out of town up in Florence, Oregon on the sand dunes, and I have a Simply Safe alarm system with cameras and the doorbell and everything. Anyway, the alarm went off, and of course you have a lot, you can control these things now with your phones or iPad. So I shut it off, and then Simply Safe called me about it. I forgot my safe word. So they called the sheriff, and within 5 minutes, there was a deputy out there trying to get hold of me. So I think that's pretty good response time just for that.
That's a fantastic story. I like to hear that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thanks for doing such a good job.
We're always trying to improve, Bob, and I do appreciate the feedback, because a lot of times all we get is the negative. We don't hear those good incidents that happen. So I appreciate you calling in.
Right. I like to give, positive reinforcement when I can. So.
Well, that worked, Bob. Thanks a lot for the phone call.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.
You bet. When you first took over the job there was questions about, were you going to run?
Yes,
for sheriff.
Yes, of
and
course, yep.
I believe you've answered that question.
I have answered that question, I hope. If anybody doesn't know, I made a promise when I was appointed that I wasn't in here just to bump my retirement. I was in it for the right reasons, and I'm still in it for the right reasons. And that isn't politics. That is public safety. And I have announced that I am running, and I will be running.
Okay. So
fantastic. And when will that be?
So the filing date closes in, I think, March 9th, March 11th, somewhere around there, and then the primary's in June.
Okay, here's a question I know you're going to like. Well, it's two of them. The first one is that they've introduced some legislation that said that you no longer have to have post-training. In other words, you don't have to be a police officer to run for sheriff.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that was slapped down, but it's for sure going to come back again because they've said it's such a political office.
Yep, I suspect that'll come back next year, not this year. They did not move forward with that this year, but I suspect that's going to come back. When I was at the FBI Academy years ago, there was a guy from Florida that was in our academy that had been he was an elected sheriff out of Florida, but he had never been a cop. Never even been in law enforcement.
Right.
And because they had that law over there already.
Right.
And boy, I'll tell you, the guy sniffed him out right away and it was not a good deal. You could just tell he didn't know anything about the profession, about what he should do, how to run a law enforcement organization. It wasn't pretty. So I would hope that that doesn't pass if we get there, because having credentials in anything is like telling somebody they could be a doctor without having to go to med school, right? There, I couldn't walk in and do surgery, could you? And
yeah, I absolutely
probably wouldn't come out good for the patient, Carl.
We didn't say that. You asked me if I could do surgery. Yeah, I can do surgery. You may not like the results of it, but let's go to that. Back 100 years ago, you could be elected as sheriff and not have, be one of the deputies or things like this. But things have changed so radically since then.
Sure.
In law enforcement, and if nothing else, just all the requirements that fall on top of a sheriff for your people.
Right.
I mean, just the background stuff. The U.S. Marshal Service appoints somebody. That's an appointed. The U.S. Marshals themselves are their political appointees. And a lot of times they will be appointed, don't have law enforcement background. But their job there is to shake hands and do that stuff. Their chief deputy,
right,
who has come up through the ranks, is the one that runs everything.
Is the one that runs it, yep.
In some cases, they do get police. You know, like in my son's case, they have a retired FBI lady who's sitting there at the pleasure of President Biden. And they don't know if she's going to even be reassigned there. But I find that a little scary, thinking that we could have somebody, and then it becomes a political campaign.
Right. And what you have is the situation that you just described. So you would have, now what you have is a full-blown politician as your sheriff and not a guy that is running the organization. He has to rely on his undersheriff or assistant sheriff, whatever model they have, to really be the guy that runs the organization, and you just have a figurehead out there shaking hands and kissing babies.
The last question I have is this do you fall under this new procedure where your officers have to fill out a complete questionnaire?
Oh, yeah. It's called RIPA. Yeah.
RIPA. Your men and women have that, too?
Yep.
What kind of impact is that?
It's having a huge impact. I was in the sergeants meeting the other day and listening to the troops and what they had to do, and they said it's adding 10 to 15 minutes per contact on whether it's a vehicle stop or a pedestrian stop, or 10 to 15 extra minutes of their time just to put in these statistics.
And this is a type, if you don't know what RIPA is, it's something that it's a legislative thing that they have to say without asking anybody sex, race, age, all this, without asking, without checking their licenses or anything.
That's a tough one.
And then have to write why they were pulled over.
Right.
And this can add a lot of time.
A lot of time. It's another piece they're doing to try to cripple how we work, basically. And it's unfortunate because in those cases where I may stop a carload of four people, so I get the driver's ID and I'm doing my thing with him. Well, I've got to kind of guess on the other ones, and it just doesn't make sense.
And then if you engage with one of them, you have to write something up on that person too. Mm-hmm.
Yep, correct.
If
you still got to enter their stats no matter what, but if you engage with them, then there's additional information that has to go into it. It's just tough. It makes things tough. And the poor men and women out on the street that are trying to do their